I just want to welcome you all as well to the kindergarten graduation. This is a very special night for these seven young people, and they finished their kindergarten class, and so of course it's special because they get to wear their caps and gowns, and they all look so cute in their caps and gown as well, especially the third one over here. That's my daughter, if you don't know that. So I'm looking forward to it. Yes, if you have a camera and you'd like to take a picture or videoing, please do so at this time. We're going to hear from the class, and they're going to have their presentation first.
Welcome to our kindergarten graduation. Please allow us to introduce ourselves.
Hello, my name is Cruz Adams, and my favorite thing about kindergarten was doing my work.
Hello, my name is Jose Cardenas, and my favorite thing about kindergarten was bowling.
Hello, my name is Hannah Bragg, and my favorite thing about kindergarten was recess.
Hey, my name is Richard Garcia, and my favorite thing about kindergarten was having parties.
Hello, my name is Eden Monkowski. My favorite thing about kindergarten is Miss Jameson.
Hello, my name is Elisa Weiss, and my favorite thing about kindergarten was the Bible stories.
Hello, my name is Wesley Sharp, and my favorite thing about kindergarten was chapel.
We can go by 2s, 5s, and 10s. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20.
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, 95, 100.
10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. Also, add, subtract, tell time, and count money.
Every day at circle time, we'll learn about character traits. We'll share three of our favorite character traits.
Doing your best. Doing your best is putting your whole body, mind, and soul into any task you're asked to do.
And whatever you do, do it heartily.
Doing right by reflex. Doing right by reflex means developing good habits so you do right without thinking about doing wrong.
The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Proverbs 12:5. One day I was with my friends at school, and they tell us break this silly rule.
Temptation, meeting sound.
Truthfulness. Truthfulness is describing facts, figures, and circumstances correctly.
Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Ephesians 4:25.
God. B. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. C. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. D. Depart from evil and do good. E. Even child and own by his doings. F. Fear not, for I am with thee. G. God is love. H. Honor thy father and thy mother.
I, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. J. Jesus saying unto him, on the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. K. Keep thy tongue from evil. L. Look unto me, and be ye saved. F. My son, give me thine heart. N. No man can serve two masters. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. P. Pray to the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. Q. Greet you like this, be strong. R. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. S. Seek ye the Lord, and I may be found. T. Thou God seest me. U. Unto thee, O God, to thee give thanks. V. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. W. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. X. Exceeding great and precious promises are given unto us. Y. Ye are the light of the world. Z. Zion heard and was glad.
One of our favorite times of the day was after nap time, when Miss Jameson read this Bible story about Jacob, Esau, Joseph, and Moses.
But our favorite was Jesus. We learned that he died, was buried, and rose again on the third day, and he did that because he loved us so much.
Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath pray him from the dead, that thou be saved.
Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not yourselves, it is the gift of God, works lest any man should boast.
There's only one way you can have to heaven.
Great job, kindergartners. Good job. And you probably saw, and we make no apologies about it, we make sure they get plenty of Bible while they're here in school as well, and recite a lot of scripture. and they hear Bible stories each and every day. If it's not in their classroom, it might be in chapel time. And so we make a pointed effort to make sure the Bible is part of their lives, because it is something they're going to need for the rest of their life as well. So appreciate Mrs. Jameson and all the hard work she did this year with her kindergarten class as well. I just want to take a moment now and find out who is here representing each one of the kindergartners, if you're part of their family. So we're going to start alphabetically and just ask a dad or someone from the family representative to stand to introduce who's here, part of your family. So Brother Adams, if you'd start us out tonight and just tell us who's here representing Cruz and your family. Very good. Thanks for coming out tonight. Yes, thanks for coming. Of course, the Bragg family here representing Hannah, and my parents are in town, Ed and Debbie Bragg, and good to have them. This is the first time they've been able to come to one of our kids' graduation, so kindergarten, so good to have them here tonight. My mother and father-in-law, of course, Joe and Donna Griffin, my brother and sister-in-law, Doyce and Rachel Allen, and then my other brother and sister, and Jake and Jana Payne. And anybody else that wants to be a part of our family can go ahead and jump in as well. The guys in high school in the back row, they, of course, they're ready for that. And then the Cardinez, if you'll stand and introduce here, who's here with you tonight.
Yeah, my wife, my two girls, Jenny Fernandez, and my brother's
friends here too. Yes, amen. Pastor Cardinez gets ready to leave and go to Texas just in a few days here. And we've so enjoyed your kids being in school this year. In our school, really have been a blessing to have them as well. And then the Garcias. Brother Garcia, you're over here. Yes, sir. If you'll stand and introduce who's here with you. Very good. Met these folks earlier that came, yes, be a part of graduation. Thank you all for coming tonight as well, the Garcias. And then Monkowskis. Yes, Brother Scott. Yes, good to see them all. They've been doing a lot of traveling and packing and unpacking. Good to see them here as well tonight. And then the Reyes, Brother Joel, if you'll stand. From the area here. Good to have you all representing Elisa. And then Adam, if you're Brother Sharp. Good to have everybody here. Let's give all those that are guests a round of applause tonight. I'd like to read a letter from Mrs. Jameson, and really we get to listen in because she has something specifically to say to each one of the graduates. It says, "Dear Kindergarten Class of 2018, congratulations on a job well done. I am thankful to have been your teacher this year. I have had a front row seat to see you learn and grow. I've seen you come into my classroom as individuals and go out as a team. I hope you continue to cheer each other on through the upcoming years. Cruz, you were the youngest in the class, but you proved that you were more than ready to take on the challenge of kindergarten. You often finished seat work first, and corrections were rare. You wanted to do your work the right way the first time. I hope you continue to be so determined. Hannah Bragg, better known as Hanner Nanner. You probably don't remember this, but on the first day of school, you said you didn't want to come back because school was boring. By the third day, you knew our class was anything but boring. I enjoyed seeing your desire to learn something new every day, and of course, your silliness that added to our classroom. Josue, you are a quiet boy most of the time, but I will never forget your laugh. It was so contagious. If something made you laugh, it wasn't long before our whole class was laughing uncontrollably. You were a joy to have in class. Victor, you are a boy of few words, but you always have a smile on your face. You're full of so many surprises, too. You're the first kindergartner that I know who knows how to solve a Rubik's Cube. Maybe someday you can teach me how to solve it. Eden, I know you said you're sad to leave kindergarten, but I'm thankful for the time that I could have you in my class. We've cried together, we've laughed together, we've worked through challenges together, and if you did it all with a sweet spirit, I admire that about you. Continue to work hard and keep your head up and always stay sweet. Elisa, my little Bible thumper, you soaked up every Bible story that I told. You also faithfully prayed for your family all year and loved to volunteer to pray for our class prayer requests. You are a spiritual-minded little girl, but you certainly don't lack for personality either. You kept our class on our toes. Wesley, I am thankful for your willingness to be helpful in our class. You often saw a need and took care of it before I even had to ask. It didn't matter what the need was, you were willing to do it. You were willing to give up something of your own to make sure that someone else had what they needed. Kindergarten class of 2018, you will always hold a special place in my heart. I'm looking forward to watching you learn and grow throughout the coming years. I love you, but most importantly, remember that Jesus loves you so much. Always live for Him, and you will never regret it. Love, Mrs. Jameson. All right, it's that time. Will the graduates please stand? Cruz Raylan Adams. Hannah Ruth Bragg. Josue Emmanuel Cardenas. Victor Garcia. Eden Kendall Munkowski. Elisa Narelle Reyes. Wesley Stephen Sharp. It gives me great pleasure to introduce the 2018 kindergarten class. You may move your tassels.
Let's all stand, grab a songbook once again, page 109. We'll sing a verse of this, shake some hands, and then come back and sing the last verse of page 109, I Am Resolved.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee.
Let's go ahead and shake some hands now. Let's go ahead and sing that last verse. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee.
The special this evening is going to be from our elementary choir, and they're going to be singing the song, But Continue Thou. So if the young people, if you'll make your way up onto the platform at this time. While they're making their way up, I just wanted to say something tonight about our Knights Educational Society. Folks, you may have be seated. You can sit down. Just wanted to say something real quick while they're coming up this way. Some of you may not be able to make it out the next couple days, and there's many of you that have supported our school through our Knights Educational Society. And on behalf of the administration, I just want to say thank you. And many of the young people benefit because of your sacrificial giving, and I really appreciate that. And so I hope you enjoy the elementary choir.
Thank you, young people. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Appreciate that. I could not see who the solo is. So who is singing solo down there? Trinity. Okay, very good, Trinity. That was nice. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, or excuse me, chapter 9, if you brought your Bible with you tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. I'm going to read some, I guess, what people might consider some unusual verses for a kindergarten graduation message, and it will not be lengthy, but give you something to think a little bit about tonight as we celebrate with these young people. And not just them, but the ending of another school year here at Faith Baptist Academy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look with me beginning at verse number 12. Now, we're picking up toward the end of two chapters where Paul has been writing to the church at Corinth about sacrificially giving for the poor Jewish saints who were living in Jerusalem. He's coming down to the end, and we kind of pick it up in the middle here of his ending in verse number 12. He says, "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them, and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you." Now, that's an unusual passage. Give me a little time, and I'll give you the interpretation and then the application I want to make from it tonight for this graduation exercise. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege of celebrating with these graduates and their families. And Lord, to some it may not seem like much, but Lord, you can't get finished if you don't get started. And these young people have completed their first official year of education in a school system. And so we're grateful for their diligence and their effort, again, for the teacher, the families, all represented here, their relatives tonight. Grateful for each one. Help me as I go through this passage, speak to our hearts and encourage our people in this matter of Christian education. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Again, I want to say congratulations to all of the parents of our kindergarten graduates. You know, if this was your first child to attend school, how many of you, this is your first child to attend school, okay? Just the short, and the cardinals, okay, very good. Well, if it's your first child to attend school, then you probably started the year by walking your child up to the school doors. You're full of apprehension, wondering how they, you know, would do in a classroom setting, and maybe even wiping a few tears off of your cheeks as you sent them through the doors the first time. If you had previously sent a child to kindergarten, then you hurriedly said, "See you later," and you were thankful for a few hours of relief. Amen. Which is probably how the rest of you felt, huh? Now, they finish this first step of formal education, and they are ready for the real world of elementary school this fall. And believe it or not, they probably within 2 to 3 weeks are going to be asking, "Mom, when can I go back to school? Mom, when is school? When can I start?" That doesn't take long for this age. And some of the teenagers are the same way, but they'll never admit it. They'll never admit that. But anyway, they start looking forward to going to school not long after they finish a year. Now, parents and teachers have many things in common when it comes to Christian education of their children. At some point, I believe, in time, both parents question, is all of this worth it? Are we accomplishing anything? I mean, you know, through property taxes, you pay for public education, and then because you enroll your kids in a private school, you pay a good sum of money for tuition here. And I want to echo Brother Bragg's comments to those of you involved in the Knights Educational Society. Because of your giving, we are able to keep the tuition cost, I think, livable for our families who send their children here. It's very, very doable, and it's in large part because of what many of you are doing through KES. And so you pay a sum of money for tuition, and then there are the endless supplies necessary. Let me tell you, you'll appreciate the day when your kids can go get their own school supplies. Amen. But when they're young, my goodness, there's uniforms to wash and to coordinate and hopefully to make them last to the end of the year, lunches to be made, lunches to be bought, and on it goes as the 9 months of a school year take place. And no doubt at some point in time, you're asking yourself, are we really accomplishing anything? Is this really worth it? And teachers ask the same question. Now, here at Faith Baptist Academy, they teach for far less pay than what they could earn in the public school system. They enjoy what they do. It is God's will for them. But that doesn't stop them from asking every once in a while, is this worth it all? Am I accomplishing anything? They have lesson plans, and then they have to refigure lesson plans when something does not go according to schedule, and that, I think, happens more often than when it does go according to schedule. And the absentees that must be caught up while the other kids move forward. And once in a while, a frustrated parent who sometimes takes it out on the teacher. Yeah, that happens. I don't usually hear about it. I don't know if that happened with any of our kindergarten parents this year or not. I don't know if Mrs. Jameson went through that or not. But from time to time, that happens. A parent gets frustrated. And the teacher thinks to themselves, am I doing any good? Am I spinning my wheels, a teacher and parent? Am I accomplishing anything? These are questions that just normally come. Now, I want to let the Bible answer those questions from this passage tonight. I'm going to give you, bear with me while I give you the interpretation of the passage, and it'll help us grasp the application. The Corinthian church had participated in offerings that Paul was collecting for poor Jewish saints who lived in the city of Jerusalem. They were under severe persecution. They were without some of the common necessities of life, if you will. They didn't have some of the things that were necessary to live because of the persecution. So when Paul started a church, largely made up of Gentile believers, then he would encourage them to take up an offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem. So Paul was talking to the Corinthian church members in chapter 8 and 9 about their sacrificial giving. In verse number 12, he uses the word service to describe their giving. And this is for everybody. Folks, do you understand that giving is a part of Christian service? It's a part of serving God. Now, mankind is not born naturally with a generous spirit. We're born into this world like this, with clenched fists, and it takes the grace of God to teach us to live like this. Okay? And so he uses the word service here. They're doing these Jewish saints a service by giving. And Paul said that the distribution of their giving to those Jewish saints yielded two benefits. And they're pretty obvious. First of all, he said the first benefit from your giving is that the poor Jewish believers in Jerusalem had their needs supplied. And that's what he said in verse number 12. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints. Hey, Corinthian church, you are meeting the needs of these saints that are under persecution in Jerusalem by your giving. Thank you for giving to their needs. So this makes perfect sense. The Corinthian believers, they gave. The Jewish saints received the Corinthians' giving, and the believers in Jerusalem had some of the common necessities of life met because those people in Corinth gave. Now, that's a good benefit. Those people benefited in Jerusalem from the Corinthians' generosity. Then he said the second benefit from their giving, and I like this, God was thanked for the Corinthians' generosity. God was thanked. Listen to what he said at the end of verse number 12. But is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Paul said you've done two things with your giving. You've benefited the Jewish believers who were under persecution in Jerusalem. And your giving has resulted in an abundance of thanksgiving to God. You say, how does that happen? Well, folks, imagine a family in Jerusalem. And it's hard for anybody here to do that. Under persecution. It's hard for any American Christian to imagine being under persecution. But they were. They were under severe persecution. And here they receive a gift of money to help them meet their needs. Their needs are met by whom? They don't know. Just somebody in the church at Corinth. And by the way, the Corinthian church wasn't the only church giving to their needs. The Philippian church was giving to their needs. And the Thessalonian church was giving to their needs. And the Berean church was giving to their needs. Everywhere Paul went to start a church, he said, hey, you Gentiles, take care of these Jews. You take care. And God always blesses. Amen. Always blesses. Now, here's a Jewish family receiving help. They don't know the names. Maybe they know the church that the gift came from. The Jerusalem believers are happy and they're blessed and their hearts are full of gratitude. And here's what they do at night. They gather around their table and they kneel and they thank God that their needs have been met. Can you see the Jewish family praying together? Can you hear them saying, Father, we don't know who gave so that we could buy some flour and some milk. We don't know who gave so that we could get some butter and some eggs. But we sure are thankful, Lord. We sure are grateful, Lord. We sure are grateful, God, for your provision. And God, you know who it was, so please bless them also. So folks, that's how the giving of the Corinthian church benefited. That's how it resulted in two great benefits. The Jewish believers were blessed by the generosity of the Corinthian givers, and God received glory. God received honor. God received thanksgiving from these Jewish people who were on the receiving end of the Corinthians' generosity. That's the interpretation of these verses. Now, let me make application tonight to the parents and the teachers who are serving and working to see that the children are educated. And by the way, parents and teachers working together is how the job gets done. It's not the school's responsibility to educate the child. It's not the church's responsibility to educate the child. It's not the government's responsibility. In the Bible, God puts that responsibility on the shoulders of dad. Now, dad may choose to enroll the kids in a Christian school like you folks have and to assist him in educating the children. And parents and teachers working together. And by the way, not just educated, but educated according to biblical truth. I like what Brother Bragg said. Unapologetically, the Bible is the basis of all the curriculum at Faith Baptist Academy. It does not mean that we do not teach upper-level science, upper-level math. We're able to teach all that because of the teachers that God has put in place here. But we make no apologies. None at all. That the Bible is the main book of the curriculum. The Bible is the main book for the child. So he's educated according to biblical truth. And there is more to this than just adding numbers and learning to read and learning to write. And by the way, I don't know if you caught that or not, but they stood up here and they read words that probably many of them 9 months ago weren't reading. Counting numbers that many of them 9 months ago weren't counting. Okay? Education. That's good. Reading, writing, adding numbers, okay? But education that is Christ-centered is better. Education that is Christ-centered is the best. And that's the kind of education that these children are receiving. So mom and dad, parents, teachers, are you doing any good? Is it worth your while? Are you spinning your wheels? Am I accomplishing anything? Well, there are two benefits from parents and teachers serving in the education process of their children. Number one, the child's need for education is supplied. They learn to add. They learn to count. They learn their alphabet. They learn the pronunciation of words and vowels and consonants. They learn other necessary truths for the development of their education, all in the context of biblical truth. So is it worth it to put your kid in school at Faith Baptist Academy? Are you spinning your wheels? Is it accomplishing anything? Well, the kids are learning. And they're learning from a God-centered perspective instead of a man-centered perspective. And that makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. So that's an obvious benefit. And then, God is thanked. God is honored. God is glorified for the supply of the education. Now, stay with me. This thanksgiving probably does not take place immediately. These little seven kindergarten graduates tonight, they're probably not on their knees praying, God, thank you for the education from my kindergarten year. You heard most of them, their favorite time was recess, lunch, games, parties. And by the way, don't criticize that. You were the same way when you were in school. Amen. Okay. Most of them right now, I'm not minimizing their attitude, but I would imagine that these seven kindergarten graduates aren't full of a thankful spirit right now for their kindergarten year. They're glad to be done. They're glad to move their tassel. All right? But in time, they will look back. And they will realize what their parents and their teachers sacrificed to provide for them. And you know what happens when that takes place? Thanksgiving. Father, I thank you. God, I thank you for the education I received. Now, that may not happen till later on in life, but it comes. Probably not going to be thankful in first grade, third grade, fifth grade, but when they leave school someday and get out on their own, they will be grateful for the education that they received, and they will be grateful for all the sacrifice on parts of both parents and teachers when it came to their education. Parents, am I doing any good? You ask yourself. Teachers, am I doing any good? Yes. Am I spinning my wheels? No. Is this accomplishing anything? Yes. The kids are learning. And down the road, they're going to bow their knee to their God in heaven and be so grateful for the education they receive. Let me tell you what I'm talking about tonight. We've got a little video to show you just for if it's about 4 minutes long. We'll enjoy this.
We were taught how to hold our pencil correctly.
Okay, can we start over, Brother Scott or Jack or somebody and get this working? Brother Mick, you might want to help out there. So,
I am thankful for kindergarten because it gave me a good foundation academically. Along with reading and counting, we were taught how to hold our pencil correctly. It was a concept that was taught each and every day, multiple times a day. And I can remember Mrs. Payne and sometimes even Mrs. Lewis walking around the classroom, making sure we were all holding our pencil correctly. And I can't remember what happened if we weren't, but I know that to a kindergartner it was something bad. But because of their diligence in teaching us this basic concept, it's something that is still with me today.
I have so many memories from my early grade school years at FBA. I think of my teachers, Mrs. Nemeth in particular, who was so kind to us, and she was so caring on an individual level with each of us in the class. I don't think I realized how much time she spent with each of us, and you could tell the love and effort that she put into the class every day. Admittedly, I was not the most well-behaved in her class, but I certainly learned a lot, and I'm so thankful for her and the other teachers that impacted my life at an early age.
My favorite memory is Mrs. Payne in my kindergarten first grade class. She was the best teacher. She was really patient with us, and she always loved us, and she acted like she felt like a second mom to me, and I just loved her. And yeah, she was a great teacher. She would always teach us Bible verses, and she was really well, the speedy reader, and yeah, so that's my favorite memory.
Hey, this is Rose. I am so thankful that I was able to attend the good godly Christian school that I was able to go to, and I'm especially thankful for all the elementary teachers that influenced my life. I was extremely behind in my writing and reading comprehension. While the kids in my grade finished their speedy readers back in first grade, I struggled with mine all the way up to the fifth grade. Mrs. Lewis, I especially want to thank you because you came in days you didn't have to just to work with me so I can get just a smidgen more practice. And you taught me to keep going even though it was hard and despite what others may say, even though I was embarrassed. Honestly, I don't think I would be the person I am today without you. So, thank you. Thank you so much.
I remember walking into the classroom in kindergarten and first grade and being greeted by either Mrs. Kim Nemeth or Mrs. Michelle Maxwell while they had a smile on their face. They created a real positive environment for us to begin our education in, and they made it easy to look forward to go to school. instead of dreading it. And I really appreciate the influence that they had on my life, as well as the other teachers at FBA while I went to school there.
I'm thankful for my second and third grade teacher, Mrs. Nieman, because she taught us the song Hold the Fort, and I just thought it was so cool because we got to wave the answer back to heaven at the end of the song.
I'm thankful for the early education I received at FBA from Miss Pearson in kindergarten and Miss Wilkins and Mrs. Nemeth in first through third grade. I remember Mrs. Lewis coming in and teaching us how to hold our pencils and being a stickler and making sure that it was the right exact angle, and the countless hours that she listened to us read and pronounce our sounds and blends. And I'm just very grateful for all those ladies and their patience with us. And to some, it's just teaching a bunch of 5- and 6-year-olds. But it was the foundation of my life, and to go on graduate high school and then college, and now I'm able to teach children of this generation and even my own someday.
I would have to say my favorite grade school memory would probably be my first day of school at Faith. It was my first day of first grade, and I was really scared coming in. I didn't really know a lot of people, but I remember walking in and Mrs. Payne inviting me in, and I was able to meet Cheris, who became my lifelong best friend. And I guess I'm just really grateful for the foundation that was set that day. The opportunity to go to Faith really did change my life, and that day holds a really special place in my heart, and it will forever be one of my greatest memories.
And this holding your pencil must be a pretty big deal, huh? I'm telling you what. So you get on to Ms. Lewis, amen. Is it worth it? Are you spinning your wheels? Are you wasting your time? Now, none of those, and by the way, we contacted several more. These were the only ones that had time to respond to us today. We had contacted other people as well. We started with the class that was the first one to go all the way through, from kindergarten through high school, and just asked them to try to share a memory from elementary school. When they were in kindergarten, first, second, fourth, fifth grade, they probably didn't know enough to be thankful. Right? Seriously. Am I right? You think about it, you know, they probably didn't know enough to be thankful. But now, they look back, and they thank God, and they thank you, ladies. I remember, Kim, you said your biggest challenge with Caleb Reardon was just to get him to stay in his seat. Just to get him to stay in his seat. If he stayed in his seat for a day, it was a job well done. That's honest the truth. But it is worth it. You're not spinning your wheels. And there are great benefits from parents and teachers working together to provide a Christian education for their children, for the children of the church. Thank you for trusting us. I believe we have some trustworthy teachers. Thank you for allowing us the privilege of having your kids in this very first year of education. And we trust that in the future, if you continue to enroll them, that God will allow us to be a blessing and help educate your children, along with your help, in the biblical truth that is so necessary. Like Brother Bragg said, they'll need it the rest of their life, no doubt about it. Father in heaven, we rejoice tonight in your blessings, and we thank you for this graduating class from our kindergarten, and just rejoice with their parents again. And Lord, would you please just bless these little lives going forward. And I pray, dear Father, that they will not forget what they've learned this year, the foundation of truth, academic truth, biblical truth. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross and make it possible for us to be saved and to have a Bible and a Spirit, the Spirit of God, to teach us. And we rejoice in all the blessings that you afforded us tonight. And in Jesus' name I ask this, and amen. Now, in just a moment, well, we're going to receive an offering. And the offering tonight is going to be for Brother Cardenas and his family. You know, those of you who attend church here know that they will be leaving tomorrow night, Friday morning, to go down to Edinburgh, Texas. And they have served here for over 9 years in our Spanish ministry and done a wonderful job. I asked Brother Cardenas if he wanted to come tonight and say a word. So, Brother, you come and say a word. And in just a moment, we will receive our offering for this family tonight.
Well, I want to say thank you, first of all, to God for the opportunity to serve here 9.5 years. From day one that I stepped foot in this church has been nothing but a blessing to me, to our family. And I have nothing but gratitude in my heart to each one of you. I want to thank Preacher for taking the risk with this Mexican. Giving me the opportunity to serve and work under his ministry. I've learned a lot, Preacher, from everything, from Bible knowledge to how to run things, how to help people, how to counsel, how to advise, many other things. And I'm very thankful. I'm thankful to my wife and my kids, my family, for standing with me. My brother Joe and the family. And I'm thankful to each one of you. I'm not exaggerating, but behind each one of you, each face, there's a blessing to me. I could probably think of each one of you and think how you have been a blessing either to me or my kids or my wife, and I have nothing but gratitude. And I'm very thankful. This is the church where I have spent the most time since I got saved. So I consider this my home church and Preacher, my pastor, my preacher. So I'm very thankful. And I just want to thank you for having us and making us feel at home here. The most that we're going to miss from this place is this church, this atmosphere, this the friendliness and the love. I've been in several other churches, and I've traveled a little bit and seen other churches, and this is a great church. This is the best church, and this is we're going to miss the environment. We're going to miss Preacher. We're going to miss the Christian school. We're going to miss each one of you. So please remember to pray for us, and as we take the new challenge to pastor this church in Edinburgh, Texas. Thank you so much. God bless you.
I just want to say about this man, this is the part of serving the Lord together that I just dislike. I hate goodbyes. And we've done it before with other men that have served here. And I hate to lose Brother Cardenas. I think he's done a wonderful job with our Spanish folks in the Spanish church. And but to look at it on the positive side, here goes another man from here to pastor a church, and along with Brother Hansen, Brother Minkowski, Brother Armandiris, Brother Harrison, and he goes in their footsteps and goes to be a blessing to other people for the work of Christ. There is nothing that draws your heart closer than serving together in the fellowship of the gospel. And I love their kids, him and Lillian, their boys, Danny and Ricky, have been a wonderful influence in our elementary school. Tremendous influence. And you can't always say that about staff kids. But their boys have been a tremendous influence in our school. And Brother Abraham, just publicly, I love you and I thank you for the sacrifice and the years of service. You've done a wonderful job. I'm going to miss the fire out of you, but I'm excited for the folks in Edinburgh, Texas, to have you as their pastor. Amen. I love you very, very much. Amen. Love you, buddy. Amen. Amen. I want to ask our men to come with the offering plates, if you would, fellas. And here's what we're going to do. If you have church money, let's be sure that that gets into an envelope and it gets designated to where it belongs. Anything that's loose, If you would like this for your giving record, you can put it in an envelope. Just make sure you mark it love offering, and it'll be designated for the Cardenas family. I'm going to ask my good friend and Brother Ed Bragg to come and pray for this offering, and he knows Brother Cardenas. I'm going to ask him to pray for Brother Cardenas as he goes to Texas to pastor the church there. Appreciate Brother Bragg and the ministry. He's very heavily involved. Of course, the pastor of Lafayette Bible Baptist Church, but also heavily involved in the Gentile ministry, working with Brother Sharp and over in Israel. And so thankful for their work over there. Brother Bragg, pray for this offering. Thank you, Brother. God bless you.
Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are very grateful and thankful for what you have given to us. Lord, thank you for Brother Cardenas, and thank you for the work that he's done here. And Heavenly Father, thank you for this church. Not only willing to have a young man come and be trained, but also willing to send him out. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for the preacher and his vision for planting churches and for seeing the gospel go around the world. Lord, thank you again for Brother Cardenas, and we pray that your blessing would be upon him. I pray that your hand would be upon him. I pray that you'd protect him. And Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would bless him. Lord, use him, we pray. Lord, thank you for this graduation. Thank you for another generation that learned as you did in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Thank you for this place. Thank you for your love to us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Lord, please bless this offering, we pray. Lord, bless this church. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, preacher.